we come to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 48. We want to look at the final verse of this chapter, this final verse in Ezekiel's prophecy. In this final verse, we're going to find the final name of our study of the names of God. Tonight, we want to consider the name Jehovah Shammah. It's a name that ultimately lifts our eyes beyond all that is earthly and causes us to reflect and gaze upon that which is eternal. Look at Ezekiel 48, verse 35, and let's see the name together. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord is There. That's the name Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is There. Bow with me and let's commit our time and our study to the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we are thankful tonight to be able to come and consider again another of the names of God. These names would help us see who you are in person and perfection. Father, this name tonight is a precious name, for it causes us to consider that which is to come. It causes us to reflect upon that which is eternal instead of that which is earthly. And Lord, truly, we look forward to the truth that we're going to consider together tonight and the blessing of such truth. So, Father, we ask and pray tonight that you would give us understanding as we come to your word, that we might study it, that we might know it, that we might appreciate and love you more. So, Lord, we thank you again and praise you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin tonight to look at this name, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, we want to consider the context in which we find the name. The context of the name. Ezekiel, like Isaiah and Jeremiah, minister to the nation of Judah, the kingdom of Judah. In fact, Ezekiel is a contemporary of Jeremiah, and like Jeremiah, he was there to see the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. So as we consider the nation of Israel, and we consider where they're at, we understand that they had basically now reached their lowest point in their nation's history. The nation that was once delivered from the mighty hands of the Egyptians, by the very mighty hand of God, now is completely enslaved by the empire of Babylon. You remember from our study with Jeremiah, the name that we considered there, that Assyria carried off the northern kingdoms about 100 years before the southern kingdom was taken captive by Babylon. Babylon now, under King Nebuchadnezzar, ruled the world. He was the large empire that oversaw everything. And now all of Israel is in subjection to Babylon. And they have reached their absolute lowest point in their history. 25 years before this final prophecy that's recorded for us at the end of this book, Ezekiel proclaimed that God would judge and bring judgment to Judah and would destroy the city of Jerusalem, and that they would destroy the temple. Yes, ma'am.
Nobody's got the first two. I looked at five people, and nobody's got the first top two.
First top two would be earthly and eternal. And I'm going to guess in that order. It causes us to not look at the earthly and causes us to consider that which is eternal. But these prophecy that Ezekiel makes is he made a prophecy 25 years before with regards to the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple. It is now 14 years since that event, and he is now in captivity, and he writes this portion of his prophecy. And Ezekiel's desire was to help to bring hope for the remnant of Israel. Ezekiel's prophecy now, although he had seen the prophecy of judgment come to fruition, his final prophecy would bring hope to the remnant of Israel. In his final prophecy, Ezekiel predicts the restoration of the land. He's going to predict the rebuilding of the city and the temple. Israel's law would be turned and the glory of the Lord would return upon his people. And this new city that would be spoken of would far exceed the experiences of their past. In it, God would make a pledge, which is the basis of their hope. And that pledge is found in verse 35. That the name of the city shall be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. That is the basis of Israel's hope. That there is a day in which the Lord would return. They are now taken off into captivity, but there's a day that the Lord would return and the glory of Israel would be restored. In judgment, God's presence had departed from Israel. Jerusalem was no longer a city in which he had delighted. The temple was no longer a place where his presence abode. God had left Israel because of their rejection of him and turning to idols. However, their hope was this: he would not stay away. Instead, there would be a day that his presence would return. And in that day, they would know of a city whose name would be the Lord is there, Jehovah Shammah. What a wonderful prophecy that Ezekiel was able to share. By the way, it wouldn't be all that long after these prophecies that there would come back a remnant of Israel under the leadership of Ezra. And then there would come back yet more under Nehemiah to rebuild the walls and reestablish the order of the city and establish the sacrifices and the religious system again. But that's not the ultimate hope that Ezekiel is speaking of. I want to consider now the connotation of the name Jehovah Shammah. What made the religion of Israel different from all other religions of the world? Ever consider that? What made them so different? Why was Israel different from those nations that served other idols? Because every religion or every nation had its idols, and they all had their religions and their worship. You can go back through history and you're going to find that every nation and every people in some way had a form of religion. What makes them so different? What sets Israel apart? Well, the answer to that question is found in this truth, that the presence of a holy God dwelt in their midst. What made Israel so different from the other nations? The difference was that the one true God who was holy dwelt with them. Consider how precious that is when you consider Israel. They were a chosen people. God did not manifest himself in the same way that he does today. He did not indwell those who were saved. There was no concept of the church, what you and I know, and this wonderful fellowship. There was a system of religion. There was a system of sacrifices, similar to what everyone else had to endure and go through. Yet, what made them different was God dwelt with them. His presence was known. What made Israel different was this: God led them. The very presence of God led them through the wilderness by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God led them all the way. His presence was with them. The symbol of God's presence was a sign of his blessing. In Exodus 33, Israel had sinned against the Lord. And God has come to Moses and he has said, I'm going to send you on to the promised land, but I'm not going to go with you. And Moses said, Lord, if you're going to send us and you're not going to go, then it is better for us not to go into the land. But because of their sin, God had called Moses to take a tabernacle and set up a tent outside the camp. Because within the camp, sin resided. And God said, my presence won't be where sin resides. And so a tabernacle was set up, and Moses went down to the Lord, and they saw the glory of the Lord rest in that place. There Moses and Joshua fellowship with God, and the people of Israel were told that if you want to confess your sin, you had to leave the camp and come out to find that place where God's presence was. It was a symbol of His blessing. And when God removed His presence, so removed the blessing. We see that in 2 Chronicles 7. Solomon stands and he prays and he dedicates the temple of God. That temple that his father David wanted to build, but God said, no, you could not build. David desired that there be a permanent dwelling place for his God. But David was a man of war. And God said, no, you're not the one to build. Your son Solomon will build that temple. And Solomon built a temple. A temple that has never yet been reproduced. The only temple that will be more glorious is the one that God builds. But Solomon built a temple and he dedicated it to the Lord. What's the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that God came down in a flame of fire, that symbol of His presence. And that fire rested upon the temple, and a smoke filled the temple. And God showed that His presence was there. It was His presence that now was the hope of Israel for the future. And His presence is the end of the prophetic expectation. That's what Ezekiel is now sharing. There is a day to come. Yes, we have gone through this destruction. Yes, Jerusalem and the temple are laid waste. Yes, God's presence has been removed. Yes, we are now facing this chastening of the Lord, but there is a day, folks, that He would come again. His presence would be restored. We would go to a city whose name was Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. It is a promise of His presence. That's the meaning of this name. That meaning, that name would bring hope to a people who understood that the presence of God was that which blessed. That was their hope. There was a day to come when the presence of God would come again. And in that day, Messiah will reign upon the earth. The hope and expectation of Israel would be known and fully satisfied. That's the truth that we find in this name. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Again, put yourself in the position of Israel. This promised people, now having gone through this severe judgment, their beloved city and temple destroyed. Seemingly no hope for the future. They are now enslaved again, now by Babylon. But Ezekiel would declare that there's a city, and its name will be, the Lord is there. I want to consider, finally, that name tonight. I want you to see, really, what the picture of this is. We stated earlier that this name, Jehovah Shammah, causes us to see beyond that which is earthly, and gaze upon that which is spiritual and eternal. Folks, you and I are going to know something of this name. Because there's a day coming where a new heaven and a new earth and a new city will be built. And there we'll forever be in the presence of Almighty God. The fulfillment of this name is found truly in the person of Jesus Christ. This is something that Israel struggled with and didn't quite know or understand. Their hope was in some ways earthly. There was a day coming where a king would come and there would be a place that God would be in the city and the nation would be restored. But they didn't understand the complete spiritual significance. You and I can now look back and see that. You and I can understand that. Because the fulfillment of this wonderful person who would be in the presence of this city is none other than Jesus Christ. It's His presence that is so wonderful and powerful within the life. Consider the words of the Apostle John. He says to us in John 1 verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt. You know what the word dwelt means there? Tabernacled. He tabernacled with us. The Word became flesh and He dwelled among us and we beheld His glory. Israel saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to them. They forsook Him at first. There's a day that they will turn to Him fully and receive Him as their King. But John tells us that it's that person, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Word became flesh and we beheld His glory. The angel declares to Joseph that the one whom Mary had conceived was none other than Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Isaiah proclaimed that unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. That child born and that son given is the very God of heaven, the everlasting Father. What a wonderful truth to consider. You and I have the wonderful blessing in this dispensation to be known that our bodies are the temples of God and He dwells within us. What was the hope of Israel? The hope of Israel was that there is a place, a city, that would be called Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. You and I understand that wonderful privilege because the Bible tells us that the moment we are saved, the Spirit of God takes up residence within us. He is here. But I want you to consider what is to come. Because to me, this is the encouraging part. The full culmination for the believer is depicted for us in the book of Revelation. We're told of a new heaven and a new earth and the new city of Jerusalem where the Savior will dwell. Isn't that what you're looking forward to? In this city, there is no need of light, for His glory will be the light thereof. In this city, we will forever be with the Lord. To be able to come and fall at His feet and there to be able to worship, our faith will be replaced by sight. We will behold Him. We will see Him. We will be able to worship Him in person. And He will be there for all eternity. And He'll never leave. There is a city coming and its name will be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And you and I can have that wonderful blessing and that wonderful privilege today of such fellowship. To Israel, it was their hope. A city where God will be forever, continually. What delight we will experience in that day when all who know Him as Savior and Lord will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and behold His beauty for all eternity. The grandeur and glory of eternity will be the truth. The Lord is there. Can I make some practical application to us tonight? You and I tonight, our bodies are known as His temple. The Holy Spirit of God takes up residence within us. He is in us. And our Bible tells us that our God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But you know, there are times in our life because of sin where God's blessing doesn't always reside. There's times because of sin that God's blessing is not upon our families. There's times because of sin that God's blessing isn't upon the church. Know what would be wonderful to be said of your family and of our church? It'd be wonderful if folks from about would come out and say to us, you know what? I may not agree with everything about First Baptist Church. I may not agree with everything that First Baptist Academy might do. I don't know that I agree with everything they do in that thing called youth group or that master clubs, whatever that's all about. But this much we do know. We know the Lord is there. Shouldn't that be our goal? The Lord is there. What a wonderful blessing that you and I have, that our God is willing to dwell with us. That He is willing to be with us where two or three are gathered in His name. He is in the midst of us. He longs to have that fellowship with us. Folks, the hope for Israel is found in this verse, that there is a city whose name would be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And you and I already have that blessing. And yet we look to a future day in which we'll really be able to hold on to that, for we will truly see Him face to face. But oh, how we ought to long, like David, to say, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. One thing, that's what I desire. You and I can know the wonderful joy and blessing of fellowship with God day by day. How do we get to have that fellowship? We have to know Him. That's why we study His names. He is Elohim. He is God, Creator, Ruler, Sovereign. He is Jehovah, the self-existent One. He is El Shaddai. He is the One who satisfies our every need. He is Jehovah Jireh. He provides. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is able to heal. He is Jehovah Nissi, who is our banner, who gives us victory. He is the Lord. We ought to get to know Him more. We ought to long to know Him better. Within the pages of God's Word, He is revealed to us, His person and His perfections, that we might know Him more, that we might enjoy His fellowship. What blessing is ours in this day? The Spirit of God lives within us. The Spirit of God wants to minister to our spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to be with us. He wants to gather with us when we worship, when we come together for prayer. The Lord desires to be with His people. And He promises that there's a day when we're going to be with Him for all eternity. And no one can ever take that from us. And I rejoice in that truth. But while I wait for that day, I want to know His presence and His power right here. I don't want to be like Israel, under bondage and enslaved and in captivity. They had every privilege and every opportunity that's afforded to you and I today. They were the one nation to whom God revealed Himself completely to. He came to them and said, I want you to know Me. My name is Jehovah. And I am your Elohim. I am your El Shaddai. I am your Jehovah Jireh. And there is a day where I will be your Jehovah Shammah. He is God. Israel looked at Him and said, you know what? We don't really want anything to do with that. And they missed out on the blessing. And His presence was removed. God was no longer interested in Jerusalem. And He was no longer concerned about that temple that Solomon built. His presence one day resided there and one day it removed because of their sin, because of their foolishness and their folly. You know, Christians, sometimes we do the very same thing. We have all the privileges and all the blessings, and yet we forsake it because of our foolishness and our follies, and we go after the things of the world. And what God wants is this truth for us. He wants to be there with us every day. It's wonderful to look forward to that which is eternal. And as we look forward to that which is eternal, it should change our view of that which is earthly. Because while I'm here upon this earth, I ought to live with eternity's values in view. Because that's what's important. One day I'm going to see my Savior face to face. I'm convinced with all my heart on that day we're going to do as John did. We're going to fall at His feet and there begin to worship. And it's going to take a while for us to want to get up and leave that place. Because He'll be there. But He can be here too. He wants to meet with us. He wants to fellowship with us. We have to make him available and make it so he can reside with us. But when sin reigns, the Lord cannot. But we're able to come and confess our sin and know that God is able to come and be with us because he longs to be with his people. And in this name, we're given an eternal view, not an earthly view. But there is a day, a city, and in the place that city will be known by the name Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. What a wonderful truth and blessing. And I trust that we'll seek to live knowing the reality of that truth day by day. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you again tonight that we can come together and conclude these thoughts on the names of God. Lord, we thank you for such truth. We thank you for the blessing of them. We thank you for these names that reveal to us, O God, and his person and his perfections. Lord, it's our desire to be a people that you would be pleased to be with us and your presence to ever reside among us. We want that fellowship, that closeness of union with you. Yes, the Spirit of God lives within us, but we can grieve the Spirit and we can quench the Spirit within our life. Lord, we don't want to do that. We want to know the blessing of open communion and fellowship with our Lord, our Savior, our God, our Elohim, Jehovah, our El Shaddai, our Jehovah Nissi, our Jehovah Rapha. And Lord, we ask and pray that you would help us day by day to do our best to honor and please the Lord who sanctifies, that we would be holy in every manner of life, that we would be a people fit for your use and blessing, that we would know the wonderful blessing and reality day by day that in this place the Lord is there. So Lord, we thank you and we praise you again for our time together tonight. Bless us as we depart, as we head our separate ways and head to our homes. Keep us safe. And Lord, I pray that you'd use us this week even to be a blessing to those who know not Christ, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. May we plant seeds this week. May we water seeds. And may we even reap fruit for the work and labor for our Savior. Well, thank you and praise you for all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.